Good morning and welcome to this online service of morning prayer and the litany. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, we are delighted to have you participating. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Through Jesus, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Hymn 346, Angel Voices Ever Singing Round Thy Throne of Light. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
we have sinned
against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips,
and our mouth will proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
On page 120, the Canticle Jubilate. Joyful in the Lord. On page 713, the psalm appointed for this morning is number 105, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. O give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name.
Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises.
And tell of all his marvelous works.
Rejoice in the praise of his holy name.
Let the hearts of them rejoice who seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his face continually.
Remember the marvels he has done.
His wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
O seed of Abraham, his servant.
O children of Jacob, his chosen.
Then Israel came into Egypt.
Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
And the Lord made his people exceedingly fruitful.
He made them too many for their adversaries.
Whose heart he turned so that they hated his people.
And dealt craftily with his servants.
Then sent he Moses his servant.
And Aaron whom he had chosen.
That they might keep his statutes.
And faithfully observe his laws. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book Exodus, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations."
On page 130, the canticle, Urbs Fortitudinis.
Oh,
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their soul? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." On page 122, the canticle Benedictus.
Oh.
I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
O Lord, save the Queen.
And grant her government wisdom.
Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness.
And let your servants shout for joy.
O Lord, save your people.
And bless those whom you have chosen.
Give peace in our time, O Lord.
And let your glory be over all the earth.
O God, make clean our hearts within us.
And renew us by your Holy Spirit.
Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. O God,
the author of peace and lover of concord,
to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From Thanks and Praise, hymn number 11, Before the Throne of God Above.
Praise whose name is love, forever lives and bleeds for me.
Let us pray in the words of the Litany on page 175. God the Father, Creator of heaven and earth,
have mercy on us.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God the Holy Spirit, Giver of life,
have mercy on us.
Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons in one God,
have mercy on us.
Save us, good Lord, from all sin and wickedness, from pride, hypocrisy, and conceit, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness.
Save us, good Lord,
from sins of thought, word, and deed, from the lusts of the flesh, from the deceits of the world and the snares of the devil.
Save us, good Lord,
from fire, storm, and flood, from disease, pestilence, and want, from war and murder, and from dying unprepared.
Save us, good Lord,
from all false doctrine, from hardness of heart, from contempt of your word and commandment, and from the evil of schism.
Save us, good Lord,
in times of sorrow and in times of joy, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Save us, good Lord.
Save us, Lord Christ, by the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your birth, childhood, and obedience, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation.
Save us, Lord Christ,
by your ministry in word and work, by your mighty acts of power, and by your preaching of the kingdom.
Save us, Lord Christ,
by your agony and trial, by your cross and passion, and by your precious death and burial.
Save us, Lord Christ,
by your mighty resurrection, by your glorious ascension, and by your sending of the Holy Spirit.
Save us, Lord Christ.
Hear us, good Lord. Govern and direct your holy church, fill it with love and truth, and grant it that unity which is your will.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give your church courage to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all the nations.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give knowledge and understanding to bishops, priests, and deacons, that by their life and teaching they may proclaim your word.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give all people grace to receive your word and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bring all who have erred and are deceived into the way of truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guard and bless our rulers, especially Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, and government, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, and Executive, and grant that they may trust in you and seek your honour and glory.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless our country and give grace, wisdom, and understanding to all in authority.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless the European nations and draw us closer to one another in justice and freedom.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless those who administer the law, that they may uphold justice in honesty and truth.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all who maintain peace and safety.
Hear us, good Lord.
Give to all nations unity, peace, and concord.
Hear us, good Lord.
Strengthen the faithful, comfort and help the faint-hearted, raise up those who fall, and drive out all evil.
Hear us, good Lord.
Support and encourage all who are in poverty, unemployment, or distress. Protect those whose work is dangerous, and keep in safety all who travel.
Hear us, good Lord.
Keep fathers, mothers, and children united in their family life, and give them wisdom and strength in times of stress.
Hear us, good Lord.
Heal the sick, care for the old and lonely, and comfort the bereaved.
Hear us, good Lord.
Remember the poor who long to hear good news. Give us the will to strengthen them through acts of generous love.
Hear us, good Lord.
Show your pity on victims of strife on the homeless and the hungry, on prisoners and on all who live in fear.
Hear us, good Lord.
Forgive our enemies, persecutors and slanderers, and turn their hearts.
Hear us, good Lord.
Guide and direct all who influence others through the written or the spoken word, and inspire all who serve mankind in science, industry, and art.
Hear us, good Lord.
Bless and keep all your people.
Hear us, good Lord.
Teach us to use the resources of the earth to your glory, that all may share in your goodness and praise you for your loving kindness.
Hear us, good Lord.
Saviour of the world, forgive our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may amend our lives according to your holy word, and share with all your people the joys of your eternal kingdom. Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
give us your peace.
The hymn, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We heard earlier how Moses' first response to the burning bush was curiosity. I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. By the end of his life, however, did Moses instead wonder at how appropriate this manifestation of God was, that God would be known in something that burns continually, a fire that never dims to embers, never dulls to cinders, and never cools to ash. Moses got to see as he tried to lead the people that God's passion for them would not die. Even if more than once that passion flamed into frustration when people would not do what they knew to be right, what they had promised they would do. Even if God's passion more than once flared into anger because of their repeated disobedience, God never becomes lukewarm about them. God's heart is broken more than once, but the flame of God's love never goes out. That fire that burns within the heart of God for justice, for righteousness, for all God's children to live in love with one another, for all God's creation to exist in harmony. In short, the passion of God, which is love, which never dies, never grows cold, is never extinguished, would cause Moses pain as well, because being close to intense heat hurts. Many, many years after Moses, Martin Luther would say, "The goodness of God is nothing but burning love and a glowing oven full of love." On first hearing, drawing close to a glowing oven sounds cozy. But let us be real. It's hard to live aligned with such passion, such intensity, such heat. Moses would also know the pain of such passion because his work was never done. A moment never came when Moses would say, "Well, that's over now." As Moses followed, did what God commanded, spoke for God, showed people the heart of God, the heart of Moses, also would repeatedly break and burn and never, not in this life, know the relief of a job finished, of a people completely righteous, of justice fully lived, of neighbors entirely loved, of commandments totally kept, obedience utterly given, beloved community once and for all realized. So yes, Moses first came to see the bush, curious about this great sight. But by the end of his life, maybe he understood better that to follow such a God is to know heartbreak and to feel as if one has been burned. It means having to commit many things to the flames, letting what is worthless, unholy, unwholesome be incinerated. It means being tried and purified and refined as if by fire. It means letting oneself be aglow with God's Spirit, being rekindled and rekindled and rekindled, which frankly is allowing oneself to be put to the flame and caught alight over and over and over again. Perhaps Moses had an inkling of this, though, even at the outset, even as he was untying his sandals and hiding his face, because as soon as this burning, a fire, a flaming God tells Moses where Moses comes into the plan, Moses begins to fire off excuses. In fact, four in rapid-fire succession. We hear only the first two in today's reading, but you can keep going and find them easily. "I'm not enough. I don't know enough. People won't believe me or listen to me. I'm not a good enough speaker. Maybe Moses tops it off by finally saying, send someone else, which is basically the same as, I just don't want to. God sticks with Moses, though. God doesn't say, you're right, you're such a loser, and you don't even want this job. What was I thinking? Put your shoes back on and move along. Next. This glowing oven full of love, God says, go. This won't be easy for you, me neither. This is going to hurt both of us a lot. But this is the nature of love, not to give up, not to listen to the cry of people, to do what needs to be done to set people free, to show them again and again what a holy, obedient life lived in love of God and neighbor looks like. So let's do this. God wouldn't accept Moses' excuses. Maybe part of it was that God has a habit of choosing unlikely people, people whose power is clearly not from themselves, to do God's work. But maybe part of it was that Moses wasn't just saying no to God. Moses was saying no to God's people. Let us think about this for a moment. God tells Moses why God calls him. My people are suffering, and still Moses says no. I'm not. I can't. I don't. I won't. God's heart must have broken. The wound in the center of God must have been a little more seared. God had given Moses life and everything he needed and offered him even more now as Moses ripped through his list of reasons. God was wrong to ask him to do something, not just for God, whom he couldn't see except in this burning bush, but for people God loves, whom he could see if he would just say a simple, here am I, send me. But no, says Moses. That had to hurt God's heart more than a little. But God's burning love would not go out. And at the end of this encounter, Moses would go and would feel his own heart singed, seared, scarred. Because God's unquenchable love is not an easy thing, a weak or dull thing. And although a blazing fire can be awesome, it is more terrifying than majestic, more fearful than glorious. And when Jesus reveals God's uncontainable love most decisively, he shows it. Not in something that soothes and calms and cools, but on a cross. Jesus would show God's unrestrainable love, not in pyrotechnics, not by calling down fire on his enemies, but in suffering himself. To follow our fire, a flaming God of unquenchable love, we must pick up our own cross and walk the way of love. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul shows us what this kindled love looks like. It is not a catalogue of nice actions, with love leading the list. Scholars like James D.G. Dunn remind us that here, love is the command, and what follows is this love spelled out, illuminated. Here, the passion, the energy, the effort in this love, genuine love, hating what is evil, being devoted to what is good, showing a familial love for one another, outdoing one another in showing honor, being unflagging in energy, being aglow with the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, remaining steadfast in suffering, persisting in prayer, sharing in the needs of the saints, striving to show hospitality to strangers. The way of love that reflects God's passion is brilliant and big and not easy. A way of life that might be more eager to douse and dampen, make innocuous and dim, rather than risk the type of pain that comes with being set ablaze. God's love burns on. Ours, does it share God's pain, reflect God's ardor, God's intensity? Or do we hasten to put our shoes back on, hurry along, pretend we never saw the bush, heard the call, sat at the foot of the cross, and wondered, what kind of a God loves like this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn 605, Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name? Unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace, this day and always. Hymn 599, Take Up Thy Cross, the Saviour said. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you for your presence with us at this online service. And we hope that you are enjoying this bank holiday weekend. As schools are reopening throughout the country, we wish both teachers and pupils well as they resume classes and other activities in a very different environment to when they last attended prior to the lockdown. Items for the September edition of the Parish Magazine are now due and should be left either with me or Roger Maxwell without delay. Throughout the coming week, this year's Diocesan Bible Week will be taking place. It's entitled Don't Miss This Moment, as the diocese worships together and thinks biblically about the future with Peter Linus. Peter will explore with us through the book of Colossians the challenges and opportunities facing the church in this unique moment.
there will be services in St. Anne's Cathedral from this Tuesday evening, the 1st of September, to Friday evening, the 4th, at 7:45 in Belfast Cathedral. The event will be live streamed, but there is a limited number of places available on each night in the cathedral. You will need to wear a face covering until you are seated. If you do intend coming, please book on the diocesan website. You can join the live stream on the diocese Facebook and YouTube channels. The speaker, Peter Linus, became Evangelical Alliance UK director in December 2019, following 8 years as the Northern Ireland director. On Tuesday, his topic will be There Is No Other Message. On Wednesday, Time to Get Real. Thursday, Pursuing Holy Wholeness. And on Friday, the final evening of Bible Week 2020, Love One Another. If you plan to attend with other people as part of a family or social bubble, please use the group booking option and register them as part of your group. Sunday next, the 13th Sunday after Trinity, at 10 o'clock, Parish Communion online. Services in our parish churches will be resuming in the foreseeable future, subject to public health guidelines and as soon as our respective select vestries are satisfied that the necessary steps are in place to make our buildings safe for use. Please keep in touch with our parish website, where more precise information on the resumption of public worship in our churches will be posted as soon as it is available. Thank you.